Hey, gang. To another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the nightcrawler of free speech. What's a nightcrawler? I don't know, but that's RBN. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Operators are standing by. This is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Patrick. Night crawlers, that would be really big worms that you fish with.
So yeah, man. So how is RBN?
You can catch a lot of free speech with RBN.
There you go. There you go. Okay. So there was a Monty Python episode once where it was supposedly a cocktail party around the turn of the century, and Oscar Wilde was at it, and some other Irish poet. Oh gosh, who was it? And then King George. King George, I guess it was King George.
Was Wilde in drag?
No. But they were praising the king. You know, they were praising the king. But then was it James Joyce? Was he the other Irish guy? So Wilde says, "Your Majesty is like a stream of bat piss." What? Oh, that was one of Joyce's. And then Joyce is like, "Oh, well, what I mean to say, to your Highness, is that you are like a shaft of gold when all around is darkness." Oh, okay. And they kept going on and on with more and more ridiculous phrases. But that's so RBN. It's a nightcrawler. It's a big fat worm. But you can catch a lot of free speech. I'll go for that. And I think Oscar Wilde would approve.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, did you get the scoop just real quick on the Turning Point USA event?
I got an update. So there was a lot of stuff, and I don't know. I don't know if there's anything that much I need to add to what I said yesterday. There was. I don't think Dr. Duke spoke to Nick Fuentes, but you know, Nick. What one thing is, you know, the event got canceled. And but he did get on a show. He was interviewed by Sneeko and Suleiman. Now here's the interesting thing, and maybe did I go into this? I don't think I went into this yesterday. One of the interesting things about Nick Fuentes and his movement of young people, and remember, like, so Nick Fuentes is very pro-white. But you know, he's in a generation that is probably majority non-white at this point. You know, he's 25. Maybe his particular age bracket, maybe whites are still a majority, maybe not. But you know, it's about half non-white, and while he's explicitly pro-white, and he'll say things like, you know, they were calling Trump racist. And I'm saying Trump isn't racist enough. You know, he'll say things like that. And then the various non-whites laugh at that. Right. And, you know, he'll be complaining about, all sorts of anti-white stuff or maybe black crime. And then there will be this chubby black guy in the background nodding approvingly. Right. So it's an interesting movement, and you know, it's mostly young white men, but it's not skinheady, and there are non-whites, you know, blacks or Muslims or whatever, who are also part of this movement, who you know, they're Muslims, part of this movement, who agree with Nick when Nick is saying that this is a Christian country and it should be run by Christians. I'm sorry if I went to China or Japan or Korea, I would think that it would be perfectly fine for Japan or Korea, or, you know, if Thailand is run by Thais, what's wrong with that? Right? Why is a non-Thai, should I get bent out of shape if Thailand is run by Thais? As long as it's, you know, not screwing with me. And so that's kind of interesting about this movement. But at any rate, it's getting back to scoopiness. Not a whole lot of scoop, but there was a good interview with these two gentlemen. And everywhere Dr. Duke was going, he was being mobbed by people asking for his autograph. And so he had a very, very good reception. And then I guess it was not this weekend, but immediately prior to coming, he had another sit-down interview with a young woman. I believe her name's Pearl, and she's got a really big is that a YouTube show or something? I don't know if it's YouTube or Rumble or whatever. But so he has been getting a lot of exposure with these younger people and getting a very good reception. So and I think it's good. You know, the thing is the young people are doing pretty well. But to the extent you don't have to reinvent the wheel, if you can avoid reinventing the wheel, you have Dr. Duke on and he's laying down a lot of the basics, kind of giving direction of what rabbit holes not to go down, that are, you know, wastes of time. That's all good. So to the extent and I have,
that's a good strategy. Oh yeah, and that's a good strategy Nick uses, saying Donald Trump isn't racist enough. That's sort of to desensitize the younger people, you know, against this thing where you can't talk about race. You know, it gets it out on the table where you can talk about these things. So I pulled up some articles on it. I've got an interesting one here. I didn't get to send you.
Apparently, yeah, David Duke is currently trending on Twitter, whatever that means.
Yeah, they do the hashtag thing, and it just gets picked up. It's kind of like saying going viral. It's something similar to that, where, you know, enough people are passing on the hashtag, and it could be in a positive or negative way.
Well, I think Ted Cruz, who is a Republican senator who represents Israel in Congress, he's saying that the KKK was founded by the Democrats, and now the KKK is going back to their roots, being Democrats again. And I guess his logic is that the campus kids who are against genocide are affiliated with the Democrats somehow, and so now they're KKK.
I don't think that's going to age well, those statements. But it's very clear that these campus protests are targeting the Biden administration, because that's who's holding power now. So, yeah, they're not going to be able to jump through those hoops to try to make the anti-genocide protesters make them look like they're pro-KKK. That's just not going to work. I pulled up something on Voice of America here. Trump in Michigan includes a trip to a black church when he goes to his far-right meeting, and they're talking about the Turning Point meeting. It says here that Trump is to host an afternoon roundtable at an African-American church in downtown Detroit, and that later he'll appear at People's Convention of Turning Point Action. So that's a wing of Turning Point USA. Roughly 24 hours before Trump planned to address the conference, well-known white supremacist Nick Fuentes entered Turning Point's convention hall, surrounded by a group of cheering supporters. He was quickly escorted out by security. Fuentes created political problems for Trump after Fuentes attended a private lunch with the former president and the rapper formerly known as Kanye West, or Kane West, as some want to pronounce it, at Trump's Florida estate. So Nick made the news.
Yeah. Well, we got one particular boomer to manage to stop saying Kane West and start saying Kanye. One boomer at a time. You know, you have to take things one boomer at a time sometimes. But okay, so a couple of things. So, and I didn't know this until maybe a day ago, but so Kanye West went to Mar-a-Lago, and he brought with him Nick Fuentes, and he brought with him Sneeko, who is this young gamer of, you know, some sort of mulatto mixed background. So Sneeko also got to have dinner with Trump, and Sneeko was one of these two. So I guess he's like a mulatto Muslim or something, but he was one of these two people who interviewed Dr. Duke a couple of days ago at the event. They had a long interview. You know, he's somebody with, I think he's basically a gamer, and hasn't been super political, but people are getting more political now because all this stuff is coming down. So that's one thing. And then another thing is, this is something that, you know, lots and lots of people have always said, why does Trump go to these black churches? Why does Trump always talk about the black unemployment rate? No, blacks aren't going to vote for him. And, you know, even if he got 10% or 15% or 20% of the black vote's not that big in the first place. So you're not talking about that much. People have always been leveling that criticism at him. But I think the main reason that Trump will go to black churches, the main reason he'll talk about how good he's been for black people, isn't because he's courting the black vote. It's because he's courting the white vote. And whites need to be reassured that they're not doing anything racist by voting for Trump, because whites, especially, you know, white boomers, white women, they need to be completely, totally not racist, totally not racist. And so when Trump does these things, I think it's primarily to reassure white people that they're not doing anything racist by supporting him. That's my hot take.
I think that's exactly why they plan for him to visit this black church before the Turning Point USA event. Look, he's not racist. He went to a black church. It does. It gives white Trump supporters room, you know, to advocate for the policy, especially of the alleged policy against immigration. Is it a policy? Is he still saying that? I don't think he is he?
No, he's talking about mass deportations like we've never seen before. I don't think he's going to do any mass deportations. I think he may very well issue some sort of draconian executive order, and it'll just get held up in courts, and probably not a whole lot will happen. But I think
he'll be allowed to deport some of these Venezuelan gangs. That's probably one of the purposes of the system tolerating these gangs, is that it'll give him someone to deport and say, look, he's done something.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's interesting is you're seeing polling data showing that even Hispanics are supporting mass deportations. And of course, a lot of the people who are coming in here are, you know, well, they're murderers and they're rapists, and presumably some of them are nice people, but, you know, they're not sending their best. And this is something that's, it's not the first time it's ever happened. You think back to the what do they call it, the Scarface boat lift, the Mariola boat lift from Cuba during the Carter administration, where Carter had some policy where if people reached American shores from Cuba, that they would be considered refugees, and So Castro just emptied his prisons and mental asylums and gave them a bunch of boats, and they came over and landed in Florida. And one of them wound up doing a home invasion into Don Black's, Don Black's future wife's house. Maybe it was David Duke's former wife's house, because, David Duke's ex-wife some years later became Don Black's current wife. Maybe not a lot of people know that. Some people know that. But at any rate, yeah. You've had that in the past where what was it called? I want to say the Mariola or the Marietta. It begins with an M. And if you ever saw the movie Scarface, Al Pacino's character was supposedly one of these Cuban criminals who came over on that boat lift and then became a legend, a Hollywood legend. Did you see that movie?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But with the Venezuelan gangs, I covered this, I want to say last week maybe, that the Venezuelan gangs have like a network in the U.S. and they're actually attracting FBI attention. So that's another reason why I think they're going to be a legitimate target. It's going to be allowable, to kick some of these people out. You can't, like, how does the Jewish dominated elite think they're going to govern big cities with these gangs running around? Like, these people are ungovernable. We can prove all day long that they want white genocide, but surely they don't want a society that's not governable. It would just be total chaos.
Mm-hmm. So the thing about, I say this over and over, the Jewish elite, it's not centralized, and their best people aren't necessarily the ones who are in government. And so how did they come to take over society? Well, they wound up taking over certain key industries and occupations. So they wound up taking over media. Now, of course, this was going on over a course of decades, and before Jewish power, media was newspapers, and then during Jewish power, you started getting broadcasts, radio and then television, and they were in a position to, especially with television, gain more or less monopolistic control over the three major networks. You had banking and academia and other important fields, and these were fields where you needed, large numbers of pretty intelligent people who were motivated and who worked well in ethnic networks, and they took, they took more or less control over society. I always like to use the term domination more than control. And now we've gotten to the point over the past, you've had Jews in the cabinet for a while. Henry Morgenthau was Secretary of Treasury for 11 years, mostly under Roosevelt and I guess also under Truman. And in the 60s and 70s, obviously, he had Henry Kissinger, who was National Security Advisor, and then Secretary of State.
Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone. He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, then your life's eraser, machine it through. Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is a supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yogavaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Henry Morgenthau was Secretary of Treasury for 11 years, mostly under Roosevelt and I guess also under Truman. And in the 60s and 70s, obviously, he had Henry Kissinger, who was National Security Advisor and then Secretary of State. You had, Carter had a Treasury Secretary, Blumenthal. You've had people, but then since the second Clinton administration, you started getting not just one or two high profile Jews, but you just started getting complete Jewish domination. Off and on. And right now it's completely on. But the thing is, you look at the people who are in the government and who are running things, and they're not the smartest. But one other possibility is that maybe it's one talent set to take over a society and a completely different talent set to run a society. It's one thing to take over a society and extract wealth and power from it. And you can do that. Maybe it's easier to do that while destroying it. But to be able to extract power and wealth from a society while running it, while sustaining it, maybe that's hard. Because I don't know if the Jews have ever really been able to do that over a prolonged period of time. You know, you look at where they've taken over societies, and it's often short-lived. And last thing I'll say is, I guess it's been pointed out that the Jews have never had a, or maybe it's been thousands of years, but they've never had their own society for more than 80 years. And so maybe running something sustainably is just not in their skill set. What do you think about that?
Yeah, they always go over the line. I mean, take Weimar Germany, perfect example, and they cause a backlash. Again, something that Steinlein warned them about, but they didn't listen. So here we are. And speaking of their domination of the media, I mean, I think Fox News was basically invented to be the neocon, you know, spoke station for the Jewish elite. In the 80s, you had CNN just coming on like at the 15 or the 45 minute mark on cablevision, and they would do a quick like little CNN clip. And then in the 90s, you had full time for the first time, I think ever, full time 24 hour news coverage on CNN. That was right about the time of the first, you know, Iraq war over the Kuwait invasion. And then Fox News pops up in the late 90s, just in time for 9/11 and the Middle Eastern wars. Well, you know, because it's a way to dominate the right, because the right is traditionally going to be against, they're going to be pro-life, they're going to be against legal homosexual unions. And so how do you get control of the right? You get them ramped up on this patriotism thing where they support America, going in and overthrowing these Middle Eastern countries shortly after the disintegration of the Soviet Union, you know, because America had that little window of opportunity there to pretty much dominate the Middle East. And so it was a way to get the right on board with the Jewish program of war in the Middle East to establish the Greater Israel. I think that was the purpose of Fox.
Yeah. So in the early 80s, I didn't have a TV, but there was a period where I had a girlfriend who had a TV, or her mother had a TV, and I'd go over, and while I'd be waiting for her, this is maybe 19, I guess it was 84, maybe late 83, 84, and so there was CNN, and it was a 30-minute show, and it just repeated. Maybe it was live, but you know, they just repeat. They had live anchors, but they would be repeating the same news more or less over and over. It wasn't going from Anderson Cooper's show to Jake, what's the guy's name? Jake Tapper's show. It wasn't doing anything like that. It was just kind of running more or less on a loop, at least in terms of stories. But it was interesting because up until then, you had local news maybe at 7, and then you had the national news at 7:30. Walter Cronkite would be at 7:30, and then maybe there would be some local news again at 10 or 11, and you know, that was the news. And if you weren't in front of the TV at the right hour, well, you didn't see the news. You know, you'd have to wait till the next morning and look at the newspaper. That's the way things were, and it's hard for people to fathom that nowadays. But so just to have a more or less rerunning news show, like a 30-minute news show on a loop, was a big deal in the 1980s. And then with the first Gulf War, you know, because they were running, it wasn't, when I say running on a loop, like they were actually broadcasting the news.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
And then with the first Gulf War, because they were running, it wasn't, when I say running on a loop, like they were actually broadcasting the news live, but they were just doing the same stories over and over again. But when they had the first Gulf War, they were really, really well situated. People treated that as kind of a spectator event. And so people were, they liked looking at the images of the bombs, and some of the bombs have cameras on them, and you could see the target, and there was just some weird stuff, but people were really into it, and you could watch it on CNN without having to wait until 7 p.m. and see Peter Jennings or whoever, Britt Hume, or I don't know who these people were, but you didn't have to wait that long. And then my first exposure to Fox News was it 88 or 99? I guess it was 99 when the Clinton administration was doing the war against Serbia. And what was interesting about Fox was in general, Fox was opposed to that war. Were they opposed to it because they were just opposed to Clinton and anything Clinton would? Because this is the thing, like, you know, in retrospect, you look at a lot of the anti-Iraq war demonstrators in the aughts, and a lot of them weren't principled anti-war. They just didn't like Bush, and so Bush was doing that war, and it was kind of the same way with Clinton in Yugoslavia. It seemed like Fox News was just
knee-jerk opposed to Clinton, and so they were critical of that war. They had on people who would be critical of the war. Well, I'm in general very critical of all these wars. So that was my first exposure to Fox. And then Fox became a legitimate competitor to CNN. CNN throughout the 90s had been pretty much had a monopoly on these things. And now the funny thing is, like, CNN is just kind of the basket case and the joke of the cable news shows. But I digress, so I'll kick it back to you, Jeremy.
Right, and then the rise of social media, which was invented for the CIA to be able to overthrow countries during the Arab Spring, that then became a way to circumvent the official news. And for the first time ever, people to get their ideas and their political views out to the masses without being censored. Trump definitely took advantage of this big time, his campaign did, to win the 2016 election. I would argue that he could not have won it without Twitter. So that's kind of an interesting thing. And now I think that the dominant powers are scrambling to try to get this social media thing under control. They still haven't. This is why you're getting TikTok videos of Palestinian children being maimed. And it's spreading like wildfire. And that's the whole premise of these college campus protests, is that they got this news from their TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook reels. Reels being the short 2 to 3 minute clips, sometimes they're 30 seconds, that you can get from all over the world. And if you have a pocket phone, no matter how poor you are, living in a mud hut, you can record yourself or put your views out there, or put out there whatever it is that you're documenting. So it is fascinating the way that media has come full.
It's fascinating. And in political science, there's a subset called geopolitics. And part of geopolitics, it looks at the interaction between military technology and the scale of units in the system, the international system. And when, for instance, when the strongest military technology was the phalanx, right? A bunch of people in a giant line marching with swords. They were, you got one kind. I can't even remember the logic to it. But once you got the stirrup, and where men could ride horses with their feet in the stirrups, and they would be able to have their hands free for archery while they're riding a horse, that this enabled great movements of armies, and it created massive far-flung empires like the Mongol Empire first and foremost. Then castles became the dominant military technology, and castles were very defensive. And you could shoot arrows from a horse at castles and wouldn't do anything, but the castle couldn't move. And so you got feudalism, and you got states became very, very small. And then you got gunpowder, and the gunpowder, the cannons could blow holes in the castle, this type of thing. Anyway, you could also look at how information technology has changed things, has changed maybe politics within countries or politics between countries. And as I said earlier in the show, 1800s, your main technology would have been printed newspapers, and then you start getting to radio and TV, but it was still capital intensive. And I guess before newspapers, you had pamphlets and things like that. But capital intensive. And then even the early days of the internet, I created news websites, but they never got very big. I sometimes would complain that, who was the guy? Drudge. There was a Drudge report that Drudge stole my idea. I had an unsuccessful Drudge type of thing. But even then, what were you looking at? The actual creators of the news on the internet, in the early days of the internet, around the turn of the millennia, they were newspapers. It was the New York Times or CNN or the Tehran Times or the Australia's the Sydney Morning Post or whatever, because it still cost a fair amount of money to do a website. But then social media came out, and social media, I guess my first exposure to it was MySpace. I had a niece, and she had a MySpace account and wanted me to put information about cows on it or something like that. But that was well into the aughts. And I think when did YouTube start? Like around 2005, maybe 2005. And then Facebook, and these were all like in the mid aughts. And as you stated, they got big. Whether or not they were intended for this purpose, they were very quickly utilized in overthrowing governments. And so in 2011, you had the Arab Spring, which I suppose were the original color, if not the original color revolutions. They were they weren't the original ones, but they were the ones that utilized social media to organize. And there was probably a lot of CIA involvement in that. Now you've got this phenomena where it's not just, networks of people, but you've got the influencer. And so you've got somebody like, somebody with a podcast. Obviously, Joe Rogan, I guess, is the biggest podcast. But, you get these people with podcasts, even these people that we're talking about, like Sneeko or something. The podcast that David Duke is on with Sneeko and Suleiman is probably going to be seen by a lot more people than would watch a given show on CNN or Fox News. Some of these people that we've never heard of will routinely get millions of hits.
So yeah, it is fascinating how just the printing press. Just think about movable print. What was that? Mid 1400s, Gutenberg. Well, before the printing press, you had John Wycliffe translating the Bible into English. I mean, he was taken care of. It didn't start spreading until the printing press was out. Now, that would be then Tyndale, after the printing press, was able to get his information out faster. And this is at a time when information traveled very slow, and yet it caused this huge religious upheaval in the Reformation, with Luther in Germany and Zwingli in Switzerland. How much more so now? And what could they do back then? They could print out their own propaganda against the reformers, but pretty much they responded to it with hard power. I mean, these men were killed for going against the Roman Catholic Church. And, today it's not much different. How are they handling these college protesters? I mean, they can put disinformation out there. They can call them Antifa or whatever, but at the end of the day, they respond with hard power. That's really, nothing's changed much, in hundreds of years of handling dissidents. And then to what extent did information play into the Bolshevik Revolution, for the Bolsheviks to get their propaganda out there, right? You have all these things to consider.
Yeah. So 1917, you had printing presses, but it was before you had electronic communications, other than telegraph. You had the telegraph and very early telephone. I guess by, some countries, the telephone was not too uncommon in 1917. I'll tell you one thing. I was in China in 1987, and I was in China for a month, and I maybe saw two or three telephones the whole time, and only in Beijing. I didn't see – I mean, people didn't have telephones. The Soviet Union did have telephones. There were a lot of telephones there. You had pamphlets. It's hard to say, but just in my own lifetime, I find myself always having to remind people of how low information we were, how slow information traveled. Just, '60s, '70s, '80s, even in the '90s. In the '80s, when I was overseas, I communicated by writing letters, which is exactly how people were communicating hundreds of years earlier. writing letters. And maybe I'd only had to wait, if I was lucky, I could get a reply within 2 weeks, and maybe it would take months or years for people to get replies prior to that. I don't know, but that's how slow it was. And if you think, it's a little bit before my time, but you know, in the World War II era, going into the 50s, you had the newsreels before movies. And I've seen, not in America, but when I was overseas, I would still see newsreels before movies. But that was the thing. Because the thing is, if you were, let's just say, World War II, there were people who were documenting events. You know, the, let's just say, the storming of the beach of Normandy. Well, there was no satellite. You couldn't just send moving pictures back to America. You could send still pictures. There was that technology. But you know, moving pictures, that had to be physically carried across the ocean and, you know, distributed that way. Information went really, really slow. And then one last thing I'll say is, you know, I was in the 80s and 90s. I was studying foreign countries. I was studying international relations. And so how would I find out what's going on in the Soviet Union or in Japan or in Brazil? I'd go to a library and I'd look at the newspapers, and the newspapers had been physically mailed to the university, and they were often weeks old. And that's how you found out what was going on. And you were weeks behind the time. You know, maybe you could get more up-to-date information if you had a shortwave radio. But, and that wasn't that long ago.
That's interesting you brought the radio in. I just want to mention on the way the information has flowed up until the 21st century, you could simply seize the information if it's dissident. You know, the reels coming back from the World Wars or Vietnam. Of course, in Vietnam, I think you had satellite television then. But you could seize
it. Yeah, it was just the beginning of satellite TV.
But that could still be seized at a focal point. It has to go through the, you know, one of the major news organizations to be able to be seen by the people. You know, just like, you know, when Tyndale was publishing his works, the Catholic authorities would just buy them up. They would buy them up before they hit, got to the public. And that was another way of stopping information, is just seizing it. And I suppose today you could have domain seizures, but Instagram and TikTok are very relatively uncensored. I mean, you can get a lot through the cracks there. And I think that's why that push, you know, of the U.S. government to, what were they trying to get China to sell TikTok? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was because, you know, it was in light of all these Palestinian children being flashed all over everybody's phone. It's very difficult. You could, if someone made a website, just like Andrew England, you know, his domain could be seized. But for millions and billions of people to have these pocket phones and to be able to sit down in their, either in their million-dollar homes or in their mud huts, and type out whatever their views are and communicate information directly to the masses, that's phenomenal. And it's hard to seize that.
It's hard to seize because it's so quickly and easily reproduced.
So instead of seizing it, it could be seen. That's what trending means. You know, it gets seen by all of these people or going viral. So the only way the system can combat this is to put out tremendous amounts of disinformation. Did you catch that last part? Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I caught it. Yeah.
Yeah. If the system can't seize your domain, the only way they can combat dissidents is just put out tremendous amounts of misinformation against whatever the view that's communicated.
That's actually a really interesting insight. Because the information itself is so difficult to repress, that the rather than suppressing the information, you put out decoys, right? I mean, this is like missile technology. If you can't build maybe you can build a shield to keep out one missile, but if you have tons and tons of decoy missiles, then the shield doesn't work well. And so maybe you could take out just the one the one, if it was one website, but if things are going to be copied and reproduced, you can't do anything about it. So what you have to do instead is just put out a whole bunch of static. I guess that's like jamming. It's like jamming the signal, and we're totally jammed. But things are getting out. It's amazing things are getting out. And it may well be that, you know, the next thing that we would be talking about, or we could be talking about, is AI. And when you're talking about jamming or putting out misinformation, and now the...
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Xtendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
You know, the next thing that we would be talking about, or we could be talking about, is AI. And when you're talking about jamming or putting out misinformation, and now the, you know, we might be at this last period where people can detect the difference between, you know, just using their brains, using their smarts, being able to discern what's true and what's not true. Because with all of the misinformation and, you know, purposeful disinformation, I hate using those terms because they're always used against us, but but it can be made so realistic with the deep fakes and the AI. I don't know. Maybe this is our last chance. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely going to that. And once the system is able to use AIs and deep fakes successfully, no one's going to know what's true, what's real, or what's not real. And then you're going to come full circle. The only way you're going to be able to get real information out is in person or on paper, which is not going to compete at all. So, yeah, that's where we're going, in a system of complete control of what people view. Just having the disinformation overpower the truth.
The good old days when you'd have to suspend disbelief to watch Hong Kong, to watch King Kong climb up the Empire State Building. I mean, you knew that wasn't a giant ape climbing up the Empire State Building, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Those were the good old days where you could tell the difference.
You mentioned radio, and I didn't want to forget, the broadcast of Father Conklin, you know, during the 30s and 40s?
30s. I think he was shut down in the mid-30s.
Mm-hmm. Late 1330s, supported some of the policies of Nazi Germany and fascist Italy. At that point, they could just shut down. They could shut down broadcasts. Of course, then you had people, I guess the earliest precursor to people having access to the internet would be like ham radios but then, you know, who's their audience? Other ham radio operators, right? They're not getting to the masses. To the extent that they are, it's simply because other ham radio operators maybe, talk to people, but that was about it. I think we pretty much exhausted that topic.
And I think we pretty much exhausted our time, unless you have one other short important thing.
The Stormer reports that Asmodor has died at 57. He did the Crypto Report. I'm vaguely familiar with him. I heard a few of his broadcasts. I wasn't like a huge fan, but I knew who he was. He showed up at a lot of protests, pro-white protests, and he's dead at 57. I wonder what happened.
I don't know. I remember him, and then I guess he got into some sort of legal trouble for something that was real minor and normally wouldn't even be thought of. I don't remember exactly.
Probably just mean things.
He said mean things. And he was a fixture on the early days of the Daily Stormer.
Yeah. Yeah, back when the Rye Stuff.biz was on there, and Andrew had all these different podcasts on there.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Patrick, for having me on.
Thank you, and I'll try to stay classy. I think we had a classy show, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.